The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Ekev. In this week's Parsha, the Torah extols, it elaborates on the Milas HaOretz, the attributes of Eretz Yisrael. In particular, in two places, near the beginning of the Parsha, near the end of the Parsha. Let's see what we can learn from this. It starts near the beginning of the Parsha, in the Devarim Ches, Posuk Vov. Ushmato es mitzvah Hashem alakecho. You shall guard the mitzvahs of Hashem, lo leches bidrochav li uli yiroisoi, to walk in His ways and to fear Him, ki Hashem alekechu meviacho al eretz teivo, because Hashem is bringing you to a good land. We once mentioned that the Torah uses the word tova as a description very sparingly. If it calls something tov, then it's tov. For example, at the beginning of the creation of the world, every day, with the exception of one day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayar Hashem ki tov. He saw that the creation was good. At the end, he saw it was tov meod, it was very good. The Torah was called tov. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. And Moshe Rabbeinu was referred to tov. Vayar ki tov, they saw he was good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is called tov. Tev Lashem Lakol, Tev Hashem Lakol. So the word Tov has a lot in it. And here, the Torah uses this word with Eretz Yisrael. Ki Hashem Elakecho mevi acho al Eretz Tova, a land which is good. Eretz Nachle Moim, Ayones Usahemesh Yeitzim Babiko Vahor. It's a land which is full of rivers, streams. A land which has springs coming out of its depths in the valley and in the mountain. Eretz chito sa'ore gefen u'seinu v'rimayin. Eretz zei shemen u'vosh. It's a land which will be known for its fruits, for its grains. In particular, for seven, the Gemara tells us. Chito sa'ore, which is wheat and barley. Gefen, which is the vine. Se'eno, which is the fig. Rimein is the pomegranate. Zei shemen, this is the olive. And dvosh refers to the honey of the date. Eretz asher lei b'miskenus teichal bo lechem. It's a land which you can eat from its bread without difficulty. It's not a difficult land. It's an easy land. You won't have to work hard in Eretz Yisrael. Targum says, "Di Levi Itzurin Techel Bolachmo." It's an easy land, a land of an easy life. Lesech Hakol Bei. Then, after the Torah starts to itemize, it says, "Lesech Hakol Bei." It lacks nothing. The Gemara Masech the Brochis and Av Lamed Vav Amud Beis says on that as Mikan She'ein Eretz Yisrael Chaser Klum. Eretz Yisrael lacks nothing. Not only it has this and it has that and it has this, but Ein Eretz Yisrael Chaser Klum, it lacks nothing. Everything that a person could want will be found in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Asher Avaneho Varzel Umeharereho Tachsev Necheshes. A land which its stones is steel, iron, and from the its mountains you will bring out copper. And you shall eat and you shall be satisfied. And you will bless Hashem Elokecho and the good land. Again, it's a good land, which, and again, Tov is not, is used very carefully in the Torah, which He has given to you. Then, again, in the Sedra, near the end of the Sedra, Again, the Parsha extols the attributes of Eretz Yisrael. If we look in the Devarim Yud Aleph, near the end, Shishi, Devarim Yud Aleph, Posuk Ches. Ushmatim is kol ha-mitzvah asher nechi mitzavcha hayom. You shall guard all of the mitzvah which I am giving to you today, lemantecheskou, uvosem, virishtem es oritz. In order that you can strengthen yourself, you will become strong, and you will go, and you will conquer, inherit this land, asher atem evrim shom le'rishto, which you are going across to it. See, this entire Sefer Dvorim takes place in the last year of the 40 years in the desert, on the plains of the Jordan, on the east of the Jordan. This is as far as Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to go. And he was instructing the people. He was giving them his last instructions before his death. And then they would cross the Yarden, they would cross the Jordan and go into the other side of Eretz Yisrael, into the west, onto the west bank and further. And you shall guard the mitzvah carefully in order that your days in Eretz Yisrael, your days and your children's days will be long. And this land which I have given to you all, Eretz Zovas Kol Vodvosh, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Ki ha'oretz asher ato vosh shoma l'rishto, because the land which you are coming to inherit, like Eretz Mitzrayim hi, it is not like Egypt, asher yitzosom mishom, which you have gone out. Now here the Chazal tell us, what does it mean? Is that like Egypt, from where you have gone out from? Here it's referring to the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. The Sifri tells us, Rashi brings, that Egypt was the most beautiful land in the world at that time. In the time of the Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, it was called Kigan Hashem. It was like a garden of Hashem. This was Egypt. And the best place of Egypt was Goshen. It was where Yosef, who was at that time the viceroy of the king, he settled his family. He said, "B'meitav ha'oretz." He asked Parai to give them from the best of the land, which was Goshen, and that was also Ramses. So here he says, it's Kodesh Baruch Hu said, it's not like Egypt. Asher yitzosom sham. Not only it's not like Egypt, but not even from the place that you've gone out from the meitav ha'oretz, from the best. But it's far better. Eretz Yisrael is far better than Egypt, which was the most beautiful of all of the lands of the world, and even far better than the best of Egypt. Then we have a pasuk in Parsha Shalach, written by the Meraglim, that Rashi brings in the Sifri, that it was Sheva Shonim Mivneso, Chevron was seven, the Gemara Darshans, Chevron was seven times more beautiful than Seyan of Egypt. Now Chevron was the worst of Eretz Yisrael. It was rocky and mountainous. It wasn't fertile. And this is why Chevron was hukva l'kfuras mesim. Chevron was used for burial places. You don't usually take the most fertile fields and use them for burial, because Chevron was the worst of Eretz Yisrael. Tzal'an was a place of kings in Egypt. Kings had their palaces there. So Tzal'an was from the most beautiful of Eretz Yisrael. And still we find that Hebron was seven times more beautiful, the worst of Eretz Yisrael, than Tzal'an, which was the best of Egypt. We just recently studied Shabbos. From time to time we give a shir on Sefer Yeshua. So we recently studied Perek Zayin in Sefer Yeshua, Posuk Chof Aleph, the story of Ochon. That after Yeshua went across the Yarden, this was after the death of Moshe, the first place, the first city that they made war against was Jericho. And no one was allowed
no one was allowed to take from the shalol, from the spoils of Yericho. Yeshua made a cheder. He said, spoils, everyone must leave after they destroyed Yericho. And Ochon went and he transgressed that and he took. So it says in Pasuk Chof Aleph Va'era Ba'Shalol Aderes Shinor. He saw in the spoils an Aderes Shinor, a beautiful garment, a beautiful coat, must have been very beautiful, that came from Shinor. Shinor is Bovel. Bovel, Babylonia, that's Iraq, which things are quite hot there at present. So he took it. He saw this beautiful garment, a coat, that came from Bovel, and he took it. Now the Chazal want to know, you know, in those times they didn't have like today, where you have Taiwan and Korea, that if you find a coat made in Korea, you find it in South Africa, nobody asks any questions. But in those days, to find a coat from Iraq in Yericho, it's a question, what is a coat from Iraq doing in Yericho? This is what the Chazal asked. So the Chazal answered, she called Melech Shalei Konalei Paltrin Be'eretz Yisrael Leniskara Daitei B'malchusei. Before Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, before Yeshua, every king in the world bought land in Eretz Yisrael for a home, for a summer home. He built a summer palace or he built a winter palace. Every king in the world. And if a king didn't have land in Eretz Yisrael, he was never happy. See, this was the ambition of every king. The real estate must have been very good sound buy. See, it became a place for kings. Now, why did every king? Because this was the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. She called Melech Shalei Konalei Paltrin Be'eretz Yisrael Leniskara Daita B'Malchusa. He wasn't happy unless he had land in Eretz Yisrael for a palace. Shenemar Ve'etein Lecho Eretz Chemnas Nachles Svi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to give you a land which will be the chemdas, the chemdo, which will be the envy of Tzvi, Tzivos Gaim, of all of the nations of the Goyim, and of the Tzivos of all of the kings. It will be the envy of the kings of the world. Which is the envy? V'hoye l'melech b'chol paltrin, v'hoye l'melech bovel, paltrin b'yirichai. So as it happened, the king of Bovel, Shinor, he bought land in Yericho, in Jericho, and he had built a palace there. Ukeshuya Bokan Levi Sheison, and he had it well furnished and well stocked, so he had a great deal of clothing there. Therefore, when Ochon came to Yericho, he saw an Ader Shinor. He saw a beautiful kingly coat which had come from Bovel, and he took it. That's what the coat was doing in Yericho. So from here we see what the beauty of Eretz Yisrael is, and that's what the Torah is telling us here. It says, like Eretz Mitzrayim, it's not like Egypt. And Klal Yisrael wanted to know, how could it not be like Egypt? How can it be better than Egypt? So not only that, Asher Yitzosa Misham, from the best of Egypt where you were living, that is better. Then the Torah continues, Asher Tisra Es Zaracho Yishkisa Beraglecho Kigana Yorok. In another way, it's not like Egypt. Because Egypt, you had to plant and you had to water by carrying water. Egypt has no rainfall, very small rainfall. The reason why Egypt is so fertile, because of the Nile River, it's the Nile Valley. So what you have to do, they had to dig a canal system over the entire country. All types of canals and tributaries and so forth, and attach it all to the Nile River. And many times the canal system could not come to every piece of land, so they'd have to draw water in buckets and put it on their shoulders and then walk to the other parts of the land in order to water it. The states, all right, the lowlands, the Nile would flood, but how do you get the water up to the highlands? So this was the problem with Egypt. And you had to go and water it with carry the water gigana yorek, just like you water a vegetable garden. But the land which you are going to conquer, Eretz Horim Ubikols, it's a land of mountains and valleys. Limtara Shomaim Tishtemoim. There are not many rivers, but it is irrigated by the rains. And when the rains irrigate a land, there's no difference if it's highlands or lowlands. It's no difference if it's land which is near a river or far away. The rain irrigates everything. What this is telling us, Belei Amelus, that this land you can live in without working hard. The Sifri says in this Pasuk, in Eish Yud, Eretz Mitzrayim ineinu omel bay bepsul bekadum begeder v'neidei chinas eino v'leho ein lebaklum. In Egypt, if you don't labor with shovels and with picks and you have to abstain from sleep, then you have nothing. Avol Eretz Yisrael eino kein elohem yishenim al mitoseham. Eretz Yisrael, you go to sleep. Ba'amokam meirid lehem ksomim, and while you're sleeping, Kodesh Baruch Hu brings down the rains, and everything is taken care of. Moshe LeMelech Shoyim Mahalach B'derech. An example that Sifri gives is there was a king that was walking one day, Ro Ben Tevim Echot, and he saw a young man, and he was from a noble family. Moshe LeEved Echot LeShamshoy. He said that this son, this young man who's from a noble family, he needs someone to take care of him. So he gave him a servant to serve him. Very nice. Shuvro ben Tevi Mechod Meudun Umefunek. Then he saw another person from a noble family, and he saw that he was even nobler. And also he saw that he wasn't for physical labor. And he was Eisik Bepula, and he was doing physical labor. Umakires Avesov. And he knew very well his family. So he said, Omar, Gzeira she'ena ta'ese b'yotcho, I decree on you that you're not allowed to work. Va'ani ma'echoloch, I will take care of you. Kach kol ha'arotzos, so is it with all of the lands. Nosan lehem shamoshim l'shamshon, every land HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a servant. Egypt, Shesha min Anilais. The servant that he gave to Egypt is the Nile River. Bovel, Shesha min Anor Yevel. To Bovel, he gave another river. But Eretz Yisrael, Einokain. Elohim Yishenim, Amitasehem, Va'akorish Baruch Hu Meirid Lehem Kshomim. But they sleep, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of them. Every land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a servant, created a servant for that servant to take care of the needs of that land. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, he says, no, there will be no servant. I myself will take care of Eretz Yisrael. This is what it means, Limtara Shomayim Tishtemai. States by the rains and the winds that the Almighty himself takes care of. And he wouldn't give Eretz Yisrael to anyone else. Actually, the Sifri brings a case here, which is brought in the Gemara, which states like this. It says, Kvar hoya Rab Lezer v'Rab Yishua v'Rab Tzodik mesubim v'beis mishte b'nei sharem Gamliel. Rab Lezer, Rab Yishua, Rab Tzodik, they were invited to Rab Gamliel, who was making a party for his son. See, his son got engaged. So he was making a party. Mozag Rim Gamlil Kesher Blezer, Vele Rotzel Kabel. Rim Gamlil poured a cup of wine for the Blezer. The Blezer didn't want to accept it from him. He says, I don't want to accept from Rim Gamlil. Rim Gamlil was much greater than him, even though he was the host. Rabbi Shua Kibel. Rabbi Shuda accepted it. Amalei Reb Lezer. So Reb Lezer said, Mazeh Yeshua. Yeshua, we are going to sit and eat and drink and have them gamlil be emir umeshamish service. Amalei Yeshua. So Rabbi Shuda said, Hanach Levi Shamish. He says, yes, let him serve us. Why? We can learn from Abraham. Abraham, God Elohim, Abraham was the greatest person perhaps that ever lived. And didn't he serve the Malachim when they came? And what did he think the Malachim were? He thought the Malachim were Arabs, Arbaim, Evdei Avedis Chovim, that were idolaters. And still it states that he stood over and served them. So how much more so could we allow? Can we allow Rabbi Gamliel to serve us? That means that since he was the host, we would be allowed to take this from him. So the Sifri continues, and it says, Reb Tzadik said, "Inaktem kfei ramokim v'atem asukim bekfei bos v'don." Why do you have to bring examples from human people? Bring from the Almighty. The Almighty created the world, and he's mashiv ruchais, meshiv ruchais, umale nesim, and he brings the winds, vanoni umeirig shomim, umegadil smochim, and he brings the rains, and he serves everyone himself. So we can bring the proof from Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, and he doesn't, and he serves the world, and he takes care of the needs of the world. So this means a balabais, a host, you're allowed to let serve you even though he's greater than you. This is what the Sifri is bringing up. But where do we learn this from? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only did he create the world, but he takes care of all of the needs of the world. But it's a difference between how he cares for Shaharotzis, or other lands, and how he cares for Eretz Yisrael. For the other lands, he gave it over to a servant. But Eretz Yisrael, he takes care of himself. So this is what it means. This is what it means, Limtar Ashomayim Tishtemoyim. Then it states Horim Ubikos, mountains and valleys. So this, the question is asked, what is the praise of mountains? Mountains are usually not the best piece of real estate. It's difficult to farm mountains. Many times it's barren, it's rocky. So what does it mean that I'm giving you a land of mountains and the valleys? So the Sifri says in Oshud Aleph, Ma bikolos nishfach, aforim nishfach. Just like valleys are praiseworthy, so are mountains praiseworthy. We're speaking about good mountains. Why are mountains praiseworthy? Firstly, Shenesin tam bahor tam bebiko, kitam bebiko. What grows in the mountains have a different taste than what grows in the valleys. Fruit that grows in the mountains are lighter, while the fruit which grows in the valleys are heavier. It's a better fruit. So the Torah is telling us that I'm going to give you a land which has mountains also, because I want that you should have not only fruit which grows in the valleys, but fruit which grows in the mountains also. Another reason, when you grow something, if you have an acre of land in a valley, then you get an acre of fruit out of it. But if you have an acre of land in a mountain, then you get 5 acres, because you can grow on the north side of the mountain and on the south side of the mountain, on the east and on the west, and then you can grow on top of the mountain. Nimtza chamisha mechufelis. So it's 5 times. This is, I'm giving you a land that will not only be valleys, but will also have mountains, and you'll have 5 times the amount of produce from the mountains over the valleys. Then it states horim ubikoos, plural. to tell us that I'm going to give you many mountains and many valleys, that the fruit of each mountain will taste differently from the other mountain. In order that Eretz Yisrael should encompass, it should be kelel, it should encompass all of the timing, all tastes, and everything that's good. Now, if you notice that in this parsha, it mentions Eretz many times. It states Eretz Zovas Cholodvosh, Kio Oretz Asherato Voshom Lirishto. It says Vooretz Asheratem Evrim Shoma. It says Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Derish. It states Eretz five times. And in the parsha before, that we read before, there also it says Eretz many times in regards to Eretz Yisrael. It states Eretz seven times. So there's a total of 12 times that Eretz is mentioned in these two parshas that we're reading from. Eretz, which refers to the land of Israel. So Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, he says, Yud Beis Arotzeis Nitnu Keneged Yud Beis Shifti Yisrael. 12 different types of lands were given in Eretz Israel for the 12 tribes. And each land was a different quality of land. And each land was different than the other land. And what grew in one land did not taste like the other land in which it grew in. And this is why it is mentioned 12 times. So Eretz Yisrael actually encompassed 12 lands. Then the Torah continues. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Derish Eso. It's a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Derish Eso, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks. He interests himself in it. Tomid, all of the time, Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereshis Hashona Vad Achris Hashona. His eyes are on this land all of the time, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. What does this mean? So the Sifri says, and Rashi brings this, Rebbe Eimer, V'chi Eise Bevat Hu Derish. Does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interests himself only in this land? Ba'alei Kol Haaretz Ha'arotzeis Hu Derish. Doesn't he interest himself in every land? It states that he brings rains and he brings the winds to all of the land. This is what it means. His Derish Eso Kaviyochel Ein Derish Hinel Oso. His interest is only in this land. But because he has an interest in this land, therefore he has an interest in all of the lands. What does this mean? The Chazal in another place give an example. It says a king had a lot of farmlands, he had a lot of vineyards, orchards and so forth. Now the king was very busy and he had servants taking care of them. So very seldom would he ever go to inspect. There was one orchard though, which was a great favorite of his. An orchard that he loved very much. So he used to go there often. He enjoyed himself there. So he'd go there often. And that he would inspect himself and see what it needed. When he'd come there, he would say, this is not right, and this has to be improved, and why don't you do this, and so forth and so on. He'd give instructions. Once he was at that orchard, so he would take a look at all of the surrounding vicinity to find out what he needed. But if not for that favorite orchard of his, then he wouldn't have come to the area. This is the same thing. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Derish El Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest is in Eretz Yisrael. But since he has to come down to this world and examine what Eretz Yisrael needs, so then he takes a look at what everything needs. Al Yidei Eretz Yisrael, he's Derish Shar Ha'Arotzeis. This is what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest is in Eretz Yisrael. What does this represent? This represents that Eretz Yisrael is the Iker. This is the main interest of Hashem in this world. The Kol Ha'arot says Tfeilim Lo. All of the other lands are secondary to it. Since he is interested in the main part of the world, So then, his interest also is in the others. What would the example be? This is what is meant, that Eretz Yisrael is the Lev Kol HaOlam. Eretz Yisrael becomes, is like the heart to the entire world. There's a Chazal. The Chazal say that the Kol HaAretzos is Nizoin me'Eretz Yisrael. All of the lands, they get their parnosa from Eretz Yisrael. And all of the lands on Nisborah, they get their brocha from Eretz Yisrael. It's the sheirish, it's the source. And this is what we're saying. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to see what Eretz Yisrael needs. And when he allocates for Eretz Yisrael, so now he'll allocate for the rest of the world also. It's the center. It's the sheirish, it's the source of brocha. And through this, through Eretz Yisrael, all of the other lands receive brocha also. So this is what is meant. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Deidishesho. It's a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks. He looks at. Tomid Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. Always his eyes are there, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Then the Torah continues where it states, from here the Torah continues into what we're very familiar with. It's the second parsha of Krishma, but this is a continuation. We read the second parsha of Krishma as something independent, and actually the second parsha of Krishma that we read all of the time is not at all written together with the first parsha of Krishna. See, the first parsha of Krishna, the Shema, was written in last week's Sedra. And this is written in a different Sedra. But the continuity of the second parsha of Krishna goes with the Milas Ha'oretz, with the attributes of Eretz Yisrael, which the Torah is writing about now. So it states, V'hoyim Shema Tishmu El Mitzvesai Asher Anochi Metzaves Kamayom. If you will listen to the mitzvahs which I have given to you today, and so forth, and you will serve Hashem and with all your heart and all your life and so forth. So now is a continuation of the brachas of Eretz Yisrael. I will give you the rain which we were speaking about, I will give you the rain in your land, bi'ito, in its proper time, yore u'malkesh, the yore and the malkesh. Now, Rashi explains. He says like this: if you will do what you're supposed to do, asise masha aleichem, afani yase masha olai. If you will shema tishmau, you will listen to the mitzvahs, and you will serve me and do as I said, then I will do what I have to say. Now this is a continuation, because in Eretz Mitzrayim, in Egypt, incidentally, Egypt represents also the entire world. Because Egypt was known as the fat of the land. It was Kigan Hashem, like the garden of the world. But even there, the only way you could make it fertile and blossom was by hard work. You had to work very hard. Like we mentioned. Beraglecho, v'hishkiso beraglecho, you had to carry water. And you had to deny sleep from yourselves. Here in Eretz Yisrael, don't worry. In Eretz Yisrael, v'nosati matar atzichem, I will give the rain. The Gemara brings in Masechta Tainus, v'nosati ani. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't say there will be rain, or someone else will give the rain. V'nosati, I will give the rain. The same thing in the next pasuk, V'nosati eise besotcho. I will give you grounds to graze. See, I will give. Now, so what will we do? So this is what Kodesh Baruch Hu says. You do what you're supposed to do, and I will do what I'm supposed to do. See? You do masha aleichem. You do what I command you. You take care of mitzvahs. You take care of the studying of Torah. And then I will do what I'm obligated to do. I will give you the reins. And I will give you the grazing grounds. Alright. So this is a continuation of what we just learned. Then it states, Be'ito. Not only will I give you rains, but I will give them Be'ito in their proper times. Not only in the proper seasons, but Bileleis Shelayatrichu Eschem. I will give them to you, the rains will come at night. Because if rains comes, the Gemara says rain is sometimes it's table is ever kosher is there. It's very good for the farmer, but it's not good for the traveler. You're out in the rain, it's not so good. No, Be'itoi, I will give it to you even in the proper time, at night when you're sleeping. This is what I said before, you go to sleep and you wake up and everything is irrigated. Or it brings Lil Shaboses. I will give it to you on Friday night, because Friday night nobody's traveling. So that's Be'itoi. Yoreu Malkosh, the early rains and the latter rains. The crops need rains right after you plant them, in order that the ground shall become full of water and the seeds will grow. And then the crops need rain later on in the season, when the grains are already growing. So I will give you Yeira and I will give you Malkosh. I will give you the early rains and the later rains. Venasati, and I will give you Eisir Besotcho. I will give you grazing in your fields, Livemtecho, for your animals. What does this mean again? Not only I will give it to you, Shele Yitztarech, Yitztarech Leilicha Lemidborias. Usually when they went to graze the animals, they had to take them out way into the countryside, in order that there should be enough grass for them. Now you won't have to do that either. I'll give you Esim Besotcho in your fields right near your houses. See, you will have plenty of grass and you won't have to go way out in the countryside with your animals. V'ochalto v'savoto. And you will have what to eat, and not only you'll have what to eat, but another brocha, v'savoto. You will be satisfied. Many times we eat and we're not satisfied. I will give you another brocha. You will eat and you will be satisfied. The brocha of Sfiyah. And then a little further in Posuk. This in Posuk Chof Gimel. There the Torah tells us, V'heirish Hashem es kol ha'goyim ha'eila milifneichem. You're coming across the Yarden, and there are the seven great nations, and there are 31 kings, an enormous amount of strength, military strength. Now, you will wipe them all out. All of these nations will be wiped out from before you. V'heirish them goyim gedolim v'atzumim mikem. Even nations which are so great and even stronger than you, you will wipe them all out. Again, the Chazals tell us, Asisem masha aleichem, afani esem masha olai. I will do it. I shall wipe them out for you. You do what you have to do, and then I will do what I have to do. Kol hamokem asher tidreif kaf raglechem, bay lochem yir. Any place where you put your foot down, that land shall become yours. Mina midbor v'halbonen, mina nor na'apros v'arayom ha'achren yeh gulchem, from the desert to the Levonen, from the river Pros until the western sea, this shall be your boundary. The Sifri says on this posuk, what does it mean? Kol hamokem asher tidreich, wherever you will put your foot down, shall be yours. If this is to teach us the Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, so it always states what the boundaries are. It says, Midbor v'halvonen hazer v'aranor ha'gorul na'apros. So what does it mean that wherever you will put your foot down in Eretz Yisrael, that will be yours? Right? Wherever, kol mokom. So what it is telling us is that kol mokom shetich v'shuchutz min ha'makim se'elu harei hi shalachem. Not only the land that you conquer, which are within the boundaries that I promised to Abraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, that shall be yours. But even all of the land which you shall conquer beyond these boundaries shall also be yours. This was the bracha. Call, and what you have to do, you'll only have to put your foot down. Call Mokom, Asher Tidrachu, Kaf Raglechem, Bay, wherever you step, Bay, yeah, that shall be yours. If that's the case, so then why did the Torah give us boundaries? So the Sifri says, because that we have to conquer first. Where the Torah, the Eretz Yisrael, which was promised to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which the boundaries are explicit in the Torah and in Sefer Yeshua, that we must conquer first. That we must settle first. Then after that, we can go and expand. And wherever we put our foot down, that will become ours. Then the Sifri says, maybe there'll be a difference between these two lands. Maybe the land of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedushas HaOretz, the sanctity of the land, will only apply to that which is in, within the boundary. So that the Sifri says, Harei Shekof Shul Chutz L'Oretz, Minayin Shemitzvus Nehegesha, the land which you conquer outside of Eretz Yisrael, are the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael also applicable there? Hare atodon. Nemar kan yeh v'nemar lahal niyeh. Ma yeh omar kan le-mitzvahs ne-hegeshom af lahal le-mitzvahs ne-hegeshom. Yes. That we learn that it'll be the same. Any land which you expand on Eretz Yisrael, if it's after you've already settled Eretz Yisrael proper, that becomes Eretz Yisrael. Comes Eretz Yisrael in regards to all halachas of the Torah. Chumas, Maestris, all of the halachas of the Torah. There could be some very fine differences, but the differences are very small. So this is this is a further brocha. That not only am I giving you Eretz Yisrael, but kol amokom asher tidrei kaf la'ag lechem boi, but wherever you step, that also shall become yours. Lo yishatzev ish bifneichem. No man shall stand before you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring terror. Pachad is terror. He shall bring terror to all of the people who are in front of you wherever you shall walk. Like I have spoken to you. So what we've done is we've read from the two places in the Torah, in this parsha, where the Torah elaborates on the Milas HaOretz, on the attributes of Eretz Yisrael. Well, it's a land full of brocha, to the point is where it's Leisech Sabo, it lacks nothing. It's an easy land. See, not like Egypt and the rest of the world, where you have to labor, but you can go to sleep. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the work for you. Now, this doesn't seem to be the reality at all. This is not the Eretz Yisrael we know. Many people today, they ask, why did Moshe go to Eretz Yisrael? There are better lands in the world. You have all of the oil, the petrol in the Middle East, which seems to be the wealth of the world. There is so much petrol in that area, and they can hardly find a drop in Eretz Yisrael. It's all around. And there's so much gold and diamonds in South Africa. And nothing in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael, is the source of the physical brocha for the whole world. It just seems to be to the contrary. That is basically foreign aid, either from other governments or from Jews all over the world, that keep Eretz Yisrael going. An easy life. People tell you. South Africa might be an easy life. See? Another place. But there, you have to work. You have to be strong. And so forth and so forth. A land like Sexa Kolbo, that there's nothing lacking. What has gone? What's happening? So, on this also, the Sifri tells us, states that there's a drastic difference, the Sifri tells us, which is explicit in the Psukim. Bizman she eiser retzeini shel mokum, or bizman she ein eisim retzeini shel mokum. Kodesh Baruch Hu makes it very clear. There's an Eretz Yisrael when you fulfill my will, and there's another Eretz Yisrael when you do not fulfill my will. And the same droshes are learned from these Psukim. For example, if we go back to the first, to the parsha in the beginning of the Sedra, where it starts to elaborate, Ki Hashem Elokecha meviyachu al eretz heva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing you to a good land. The pasuk before that says, V'shomarto es mitzvos Hashem Elokecha. Moshe tells the people, guard the mitzvos of Hashem. L'leches bidrocho, to walk in his ways, u'le'yira esay, to fear him, ki. What's the key? See? Ki, because. Moshe is instructing the people. He says, guard carefully the mitzvahs of Hashem. Walk in his ways and fear him, because Hashem is bringing you to an Eretz Tova. There's another nature to Eretz Yisrael that we didn't speak about. And that is, Eretz Yisrael does not only have this physical nature of perfection, but it also has a spiritual nature of perfection. And it cannot tolerate chet, cannot tolerate averus. And therefore, Moshe is telling them, he says, guard the mitzvahs, walk in Hashem's ways and fear him, because he's bringing you to this land. If he wasn't bringing you to this land, it wouldn't be so important. It's important, but it wouldn't be so important. But because you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, there you're going to have to guard the Torah perfectly. There you're going to have to walk in his ways perfectly. There you're going to have to fear him perfectly. Because if not, then Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate it. Other lands can tolerate it, but not Eretz Yisrael. Then, right after, where it tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing you to a good land, and it tells you of the springs and the waters, and it states of the seven fruits and so forth. It states on, this is again in the first part of the Sedra. It says, on Yud Aleph, the Pasuk right after, you shall eat and you shall be satisfied and you shall bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk Yud Aleph states, Hishom Elokecha. Hishom Elokecha, be careful. Be very careful. Pen tishkach es Hashem Elokecha, lest you forget Hashem. Levilti shemor mitzveisav u'mishpotav v'chukasav asher anechi metzav chayim. Now he's speaking to the people when they go into Eretz Yisrael. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, and you'll have all of this brocha and all of this satisfaction, Hishom Elokecha, be careful, lest you forget Hashem, and you forget His mitzvahs, which I am commanding you, penteichal v'sovoto. Because when you come into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be an enormous amount to eat because of the brocha. Lest you eat and you become satisfied, uvotim tovim tivne v'yishofto, and you'll build beautiful homes and you will dwell in them, uvekorcha v'tzeincha yirbiyun, and you'll have enormous herds, kesev v'zov yirbeloch, and you will have gold and silver, v'chol ashelocha yirbe, everything you will have in great quantity, v'rom levavecha. And once you'll have everything, you'll become arrogant. You won't need me anymore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says. If you're poor, you need me. Then you come and you ask, if you have everything, what do you need me for? V'shachachto, and you forget about me, that I have taken you out of Egypt, that I brought you through the desert. And you will say that it's my strength. It is my strength that has built all of this wealth and all of this strength. You will be from the mightiest nations. you shall remember that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gave you all of this. If you will forget, then it was a good test. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'hoyo im shecheach tishkach." The Mesh is telling the people, if you will forget Hashem, and you will start going after, you will be misled to other gods. Ha'idosi v'chem hayom. Then I give witness to you today, ki ovei tevedum, that you will be driven out of Eretz Yisrael. This is what the psukim say together with these brachos. Then also, in the last parsha, we have the same thing. But in the last parsha again, where again we read all of these brachos, this is in Dvorim Yud Aleph. Again there it states, right before HaKadosh Baruch Hu again elaborates, or Meshe again elaborates on the brachos v'Eretz Yisrael, it states, Ushmatim es kol ha-mitzvah asher nechem mitzavcha hayom, guard all of the mitzvahs which I've given you today, be strong, and go inherit the land which you are going across the Jordan for, in order that your day shall be on that land for a long time, which I have sworn to your fathers. A land of Zovas Kolavadvosh, a land of milk and honey. So we have the same thing. Now the Sifri brings, when it says that this is not like Egypt, but this is a land where Hashem takes care of himself. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Deirish Yisro. It's a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks for himself. The Sifri tells us, in Yud Beis, what does he seek? Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Deirish Yisro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Deirish. Deirish means that he demands something. He seeks. What does he seek? So it states, Nitna Lidrisha Lahafrish Memena Chalatrumus Maestras. He demands Chalatrumus Maestras. He demands the mitzvahs of Oretz. This is not like Egypt. This is not like Egypt. This is not like the rest of the world, that you can live there and pay no tax. Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to pay tax. You have to pay me tax. I demand chalatrumus u'maisrus, the mitzvahs of Oretz. This is what I demand in Eretz Yisrael, which I do not demand in other lands. Then the Sifri says, Tomid eini Hashem alakecho. The eyes of Hashem is always on this land. So the Sifri asks the question, what does it mean the eyes of Hashem is always on the land? We have another passage that states, Amabit lo oretz vatirot, yiga bohorim v'yashen v'yashen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he looks at a land, that land trembles. It's an earthquake. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at a land, it trembles. There's an earthquake. If he touches a mountain, it goes up in smoke. In other words, there's a volcanic explosion. This is what it states. Hamabit l'oretz v'tirot. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his eye on a land, it trembles. When he touches a mountain, it goes up in smoke. So what does it mean that Hashem says that my eyes are on Eretz Yisrael all of the time? Kan b'shishel eisim ritzeni shel mokom. Then tomid eini Hashem elokecha bo, ve'einu nizukim. Ukisha'eini Yisrael eisim ritzeni shel mokom, amabit lo'oretz v'tirod, yiga bohorim yoshenu. If Yisrael fulfills the will of the Almighty on the land, then when he looks at the land, all of the brachas are fulfilled. If the people do not fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem, then when he looks at the land, then heaven forbid, it trembles. then further it states, Ishomru lechem, this is right after this parsha, in the Ishomru lechem pen yifte levavchem, besartem varatem eli himacherim ishtachavisem lechem. So Rashi tells us, be careful. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you must be careful. Because since you're going to have so much to eat there, and you'll have so much satisfaction, ishomru lachem, guard yourself, shalitivatu, that you will not rebel against Hashem. She'ein odem meiri ba'korish borchu elemitek sfiyah. Rebellious spirits, people that rebel against Hashem, that comes from satisfaction when they have a lot. Shenema pentechal v'savota uv'korcha v'tzeincha yibuyum. Then it states v'rom levavecha v'shachachto. When people do not have a lot, if they're lacking, then they come to Hashem. They ask for more. But when people have a lot and their stomachs are full, then they turn their backs on Hashem. So here, Ishom Lechem, this is what we say in the second parsha of Krishma. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you Eisa Besotcha, He will give you grass in the field, the Ventecha for your animals, V'Ochalta V'Savot, and you shall eat and be full. Ishom Lechem. But guard yourself, be careful. Affluency brings forgetfulness to Hashem. Affluency brings where a person turns his back on Hashem. This is why we find many times that when Jews were poor, they were very attached to Hashem. And they became affluent, they started to forget about Hashem. The children were brought up in a spirit of affluency. The children didn't know Hashem. They didn't need Him anymore. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a special warning. When you're going into Eretz Yisrael that's so full of brocha, be careful of this. And Sartim, what will happen? You will turn away from Hashem. What does it mean, Satim? You will turn away from Hashem? Lifrish minatera. You will turn away from the study of Torah. Once you turn away from the study of Torah, then vavartem elim acherim. You will go to serve strange gods, alien gods. Be careful that you do not turn away from Hashem because of your brocha, because you have so much. And because you have so much, you'll stop studying Torah, and from there you will go to serve alien gods. How do we know that when one turns away from the study of Torah, he will go serve alien gods? Maybe that's an exaggeration, just because a person stops studying, so who says he will serve alien gods? So Rashi brings from the Tanakh and David HaMelech, when David was being chased by Shaul, King Saul. King Saul wanted him killed. And David ran from one place to the other. He had to go from one city to the other city, to the countryside. He had to hide, and constantly he had to be on the move. He was exiled. So David HaMelech said, Gershuni ayoy mistapeach benachlas Hashem leimoloch aved elihim acherim. He says, I am pursued and I am chased out away from the nachlas Hashem, where I am about to go serve other gods. Why? Because I'm a gurish melasik mitera. That since I'm not able to study Torah, I'm constantly on the run, I'm constantly in exile, so it's korov, it's as if I'm being forced to go serve other gods. Once a person stops studying of Torah, then there are no limits what can happen to him. And then the Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'chora af Hashem bochem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will become angry, V'otzar es HaShemayim, He will close the heavens, V'lo yemoter, He will not have rain, Hadam aleisitein es yevula, You will not have the fruits, V'varetem meherom mi'al ha'oretz hativa, and He will chase us out of this good land which He has given to us. So Rashi brings from the Chazal. He brings a Moshe Lamelech. a king sent his son to a party. And he told his son, I don't want you to embarrass me. When you go to this party, don't embarrass me. He says, don't eat too much. He says, be a mensch. See? Watch your manners. There was a very, very special nobility, aristocracy. He says, don't eat too much. Don't drink too much. Be careful. The son went, and this was his first party, first banquet. And he saw the waiters were bringing all kind of drinks, free. So he ordered one drink after the other. He saw the waiters were coming around with the best of foods, with seconds and thirds. So he ate. What happened? He became drunk. He acted like a fool. Then he vomited. And he vomited on many of the guests. And he made a total disgrace of himself. So what did they do to him? Natluhu biyodu v'raglo. So they got up and they picked him up, some by the hands and some by the feet. V'zorkuhu achurei paltren. And they threw him out the back door of the palace, where the party was being held. So was it with Klal Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is your first party. You're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. There's free drinks and free eats, everything. But be careful. He says, don't embarrass me. Because otherwise they'll throw you out. And unfortunately and tragically, the son didn't listen. And they were chucked out. And what's the paltrin? What's the example? Because the Eretz Yisrael is the paltrin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz Yisrael is the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't go to a party in the palace, then it's not so necessary for you to watch your manners. But when you go to the party in the palace, then you have to be very, very careful. There is etiquette and protocol. Everything must be perfect. That's what the Chazal tell us. Ein adam mi shechete chutz lepaltrin shel melech lemi shechete b'seich paltrin shel melech. You cannot compare someone who doesn't listen to Hashem outside of the palace of the king like someone who transgresses his mitzvahs in the palace of the king. Now in Yisrael you have to be far more careful. That's why I can't say nishom alechem shmores mitzvahsof, guard my mitzvahs, because I'm bringing you into this land. This land will not tolerate hate. We've had all through the generations discussions on this. See, all kind of discussions we've had. We lack no discussions by Jews. And all through the generations we've had discussions. Are mitzvahs necessary in Eretz Yisrael? Are mitzvahs not necessary in Eretz Yisrael? There's nothing to discuss. History blatantly shows it, unfortunately. All you have to do is look at the history of Eretz Yisrael for the last 2,000 years and before. And we've been in Eretz Yisrael where we had stronger armies during the time of Shlema HaMelech, and later during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. There the Eretz Yisrael, the commonwealth, was the strongest in the world. And still nothing to help them. Because Moshe Lamelech, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, don't embarrass me. You are the light to the world. You come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to be perfect. Shmor, guard my mitzvahs, walk in my ways and fear me. And then Eretz Yisrael will be perfect. But if not, then Bo'otzar Es HaShemayim, then I turn off the reins. And the land doesn't give fruit. And Lavaditim. See? The land will expel you. Other lands can tolerate hate. Not Eretz Yisrael. And this is why Moshe was giving all of this instruction before they crossed the Yarden. So this is the answer. That how can it be all of these beautiful, wonderful brochas at Eretz Yisrael, a land where you don't even have to work. And then we see the antithesis of it. There's a maral, which I spoke about Shabbos a few months ago. So Maral tells us, Masechta Ovis in Perikei, Mishnah Tes, it states that Golas Bola Elam, Klal Yisrael goes into exile, Al Avedis Ore Gila Raish V'Chazdomim U'Shmitzes Oretz, on the following Avedis. There are many Avedis, but the Mishnah is particularly bearing in on these. If there's idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, if there's promiscuity, acts of incest or adultery, promiscuity, and Shvichas Domim, if there's spilling of blood in Eretz Yisrael, and Shmitas Oretz, if the Shmita is not kept. Why? So the Maral says that their Eretz Yisrael has three prominent features. Three wonderful prominent features Eretz Yisrael has, which no other land has. First of all, it states Elokei HaOretz. In many places it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Elokei HaOretz, I am the God of the land. In no other place does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, I am the God of the land. Only on Eretz Yisrael. What does this mean? This means that all of the other lands he gave over to a shliach. Eretz Yisrael he didn't. And this is what we said. It's a land that Akshebelekecha Deirish Yisrael. He seeks its needs. He doesn't give it over to anyone else. I mentioned then that every land has a malach. He appointed a malach to care for the needs of each land. But Eretz Yisrael, no malach. That he himself. That's why it states that call me Shador Bechutz Loretz Kimi She'ein Le'alekai, someone who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's as if he does not have a God. What does it mean? It means that that he's under a malach. He's not under HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I said, mentioned at that time that Rabbi Lapin Sr. said over from Rabbi Elia Lapin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that he asked a question. He says, we see Jews in whatever land they go to, they always pick up the nature and characteristics of those people. There's a German Jew, and there's a Russian Jew, and there's a Spanish Jew, an English Jew, and so forth. They pick up the nature of those people. But he asked the question, the Litvish Jew, which these people were from, Lithuania, they also picked up the nature of Lithuania. But he says they had nothing to do with the people there. The Jew in Lithuania had nothing to do with the Goy. He said it was a state within a state. Nothing to do. They didn't mix socially. They didn't mix culturally. They didn't go to their universities. Well, we can understand a Jew goes to Oxford, so he's going to become English. So how did the Jew in Lithuania become Litvish? So he answered with this. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a malach to rule each medina. And that malach gives that medina a certain nature. And if you live in that medina, even though you don't mix with the people, you're still living under that malach, under that tsar. Therefore, you're going to pick up some of the nature of that medina. So therefore, Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of himself. Other lands, he sends the malach. That's one feature of Eretz Yisrael. A second feature of Eretz Yisrael, it's Eretz HaKadosha. We all know it has Kedusha, it has sanctity. It's called Eretz HaKadosha. Yushalayim Yir HaKodesh. There's all types of mitzvahs that other lands do not have. Has all types of prohibitions that other lands do not have, and so forth. Beis HaMikdash. So it has Kedusha. And a third feature, it gives life. It states, V'nosati tzvi be'eretz hachayim. It's called Eretz Hachayim, the land of life. mentioned the Gemara in Brochus, that when they told Rabbi Yechanan in Eretz Yisrael that there's old people in Bavel, he couldn't believe it. He could sabi with Bavel. How could there be old people in Bavel? He says, he can understand old people in Eretz Yisrael, but how can there be old people in Bavel? Eretz Yisrael gives life, but not other lands. So they told him now, they get up early in the morning and they go to the shul in Beis HaMedrash and they stay late at night in the Beis HaMedrash. Oh, then he understood it. Because the Gemara says that a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses, it has the same kedusha as Eretz Yisrael. Because what's the mile of Eretz Yisrael? Because Hashem Sheikh in Betzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the Bote Midrashis and Bote Knesses also. So then when they told him that, he understood. So Eretz Yisrael has this mile of life. Why does it have the mile of life? Because we mentioned it's the heart of the world. Those, when you're closer to the heart, you get better blood. Those that are close to the heart gets the best blood and the best nourishment. Eretz Yisrael is the heart of the world. The fact is, life comes not from this world. Life comes from above. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a link between the two worlds, between the upper worlds and the lower world. He made a link. Where was the link? The link was Yerushalayim. The link was the Beis HaMikdash, Zeh Shaar HaShamayim. This was the ladder. So therefore, Eretz Yisrael, all of the brocha comes to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael dispenses it to the rest of the world, just like the heart. So the main life is in Eretz Yisrael, therefore it's Eretz HaChayim. These are the three features of Eretz Yisrael. So he says, therefore, when there's idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, well then how can it be Elokei Oretz? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the land. You drive HaKadosh Baruch Hu out. What is Golus? See, today we're in Golus. What is the Golus? The Golus is that the Shekhinah is driven out of Eretz Yisrael. It states when Klal Yisrael was driven out, Shekhinah Goli Mohim, the Shekhinah was driven out. That's why when in three times a day, when we say Shemen Esrei, we say Amachse Shekhinose Letzion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go back to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael in its perfection has these prominent features. But if there's idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, then it's Gela, then it's exile. The Shekhinah and the people. You drive HaKadosh Baruch Hu out. Eretz HaKadosha, the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. If there's Gila or Arias, if there's incest, if there's promiscuity, so you break the Kedushas or Oretz. Eretz HaChaim, it's a source of life, but if there's Shvichas Domim, if there's murder in Eretz Yisrael, then you destroy that. That's why the Mishnah says that on these three Averas, it states, Golus, Bole Elam. See, exile comes, heaven forbid, to Klal Yisrael at these three Averus. And then it states, Shvises Oretz, Shemitah, the rest in the land on the seventh year. So Maral says something interesting. He says, this is something that we find by no other land. This, that the land must rest every seventh year, we find this in no other place. No other land. Why? He says, only something that can come to perfection has resting. What is resting? When it's finished. When something is finished in its totality, then it rests. This is why Shabbos is found by Israel. Israel reach a perfection, they have a Shabbos. The same thing with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael has a perfection, therefore it has a Shabbos. Once every 7 years, it rests. If these are all destroyed, then the land cannot tolerate it, and it exiles its people. So, in this parsha, we see that the Torah extols and elaborates on the Milas HaOretz, on the wonderful attributes of Eretz Yisrael, where it was a land of physical beauty, far surpassing the most beautiful lands in the world. All the kings wanted land in Eretz Yisrael for their palaces. It was a land of physical brocha, physical blessing, all greater than all of the other lands. And on top of that, besides all of the gold and the silver and the copper and the steel and the and all of the fruits and the grains, herds, besides everything else, you didn't have to work for it. It was an easy life, an easy land. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I'll take care of it. And it's the shadish, the source of all of the brokers of all the lands, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what Eretz Yisrael needs and he gives it, and then from there it goes to the rest of the world. But this is Yishor Melechem, but this you must guard carefully, because it's not the physical nature of the land is based on its spiritual nature. It has a spiritual nature of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the land, and it has sanctity, and it's the source of life. And if the mitzvahs and Torah is not kept, so then that's golus b'olam, that drives the Shekhinah out. Where does it drive the Shekhinah? The Gemara asks. Where does it drive it? Says it drives it to the Bote Midrashis and Bote Knesiyos. The Shekhinah goes to the Shulbs and to the Beis HaMedrash. Mishachora Beis HaMikdash Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Dalar Amishel Alocha Bilvad. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went where Torah was studied, because he has no place. Drives it out, and together with the people, and then all of these brachas collapse. All of these brachas collapse. Otzar es Hashemayim, and so forth and so on. So this is the nature of this land, and that's what the Torah tells us here. This is something that is very important. We should be zeichet to see Eretz Yisrael return in its splendor and in its brocha, where it will be again a brocha for the entire world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.